Joining the late William F. Buckley, standing athwart history and yelling, "Stop!" It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Well, yesterday they blew up a rocket. Yeah, they're supposed to do it. 9-minute flight ended with the Dragon crew. That's, you know, Dragon, SpaceX. Of course, they test their engines in McGregor outside of Waco. They're building the big launch facility in Boca Chica Beach down south of Brownsville. They have had this Dragon capsule going, taking stuff to the ISS for a long time now in a contract deal with NASA. And they've been building the commercial, the manned spaceflight version of this. NASA's requiring a bunch of safety tests. As you look at their history, they did a lot of things right off the bat. But anyway, the Dragon crew capsule parachuted safely into the Atlantic. That's right. They rose it up and then rose up in the air and then, boom, the separated, sped away from the exploding rocket. Elon Musk said, "I'm super fired up. It's just going to be wonderful to get astronauts back into orbit from American soil after almost a decade of not being able to do so." That's just super exciting. Think about that. Wealthiest country in the world, biggest only global military reach and everything, and we're still depending on a bunch of backwater communist retreads in Russia, whose economy is smaller than the state of Texas, to send human beings into space. Well, Bob Zimmerman, I was going to watch this Saturday. They had to scrub it because of weather, and then they did it yesterday, and I didn't get to watch that. Bob Zimmerman put up a piece at BehindTheBlack.com. The headline alone is interesting. It's an essay. The long-term ramifications of SpaceX's Crew Dragon on the future of the human race. And he wrote in that, "The ramifications of this manned mission, however, far exceed its success in returning Americans to space on our own spacecraft." Why, Bob?
Well, you know, the thing that has been going on, Robert, thank you once again for having me on. The thing that's been happening for the last decade is that the U.S. space effort has been transitioning away from government-built, government-owned, government-operated and government-overspent, government-delayed, government not really achieving anything, government rockets.
Well, that's good, because I don't want to go to – I want to go to Walmart. I don't want to go to the DMV when I need something.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's one of the things, reasons why after the 60s space race, we didn't accomplish very much, because – we won the 60s space race to prove that private enterprise, freedom, competition was the better way to do things. But we used the Soviet model to win that race. And we decided to copy the Soviet model for the next half century, which we know what happened to the Soviet Union. It doesn't work very well. So for the last decade or so, the American space effort has been transitioning away from a, quote, space program to that competitive private enterprise model that built the country, where the government is merely a customer. It buys the product from private companies.
Bob, I need to interject something, because
Sure. There
are listeners who will be hearing this and thinking, oh, it's just pure political. Let me explain to you people, because you don't know what Bob knows. He's one of the great writers on this subject and covers it daily at BehindTheBlack.com. He wrote the Space Encyclopedia, for goodness sake. If you don't believe that government interfered and went with the Soviet model, forget the Apollo program. The government of the United States made it illegal, even though we had companies building rockets. Remember, the government didn't build the rockets for the Apollo program or for the space shuttle or whatever. Private contractors did. They made it illegal to launch a satellite on a private rocket and required you to use the space shuttle. That's how Soviet-esque we went. Sorry,
yeah, and when they made that decision in the 70s, it literally destroyed the American rocket industry for two decades. And in fact, if one goes to Behind the Black, and at the top of the page there's a menu, and you pick on that menu, important Space Watch columns. There's a column I wrote for UPI for about a year called Space Watch, and I wrote in the early aughts a column which I called A Tired, Dying Industry, about the rocket industry in the United States. What little of it was left was not willing to compete or innovate or do anything, and it was dying. Well, in the last decade, and this is almost entirely, we can thank Elon Musk and SpaceX.
Entrepreneurism.
But in the last decade, the government's been transitioning away from that government model to private enterprise. And once again, if you go to Behind the Black, you can download my, for free, my policy paper, Capitalism Space, which I recommended 3 years ago that the government do this. One, it doesn't build it anymore. Two, it doesn't own it anymore. Three, it acts as a customer and just buys it from private enterprise. And this is what they've slowly been doing. Now, how does this affect the far future of the human race? Well, the Dragonflight yesterday is the it puts us within inches of being able to put Americans back in space on a private rocket built by a private company in a private capsule built by a private company owned by a private company that can now sell the product to others and can do it really cheaply, and in fact undercuts the price of everyone in the world.
And you quoted in your piece Bridenstine, the Jim Bridenstine, or however you say it, the NASA administrator, saying, "We are doing this differently." This is what by the way, Bob's policy paper was commissioned by one of the big defense, you know, think tanks in Washington. It's a major paper that was looked at by everyone, and we covered it on the show two or three years ago. The quote from the NASA administrator after this test: "We are doing this differently. NASA is going to be a customer, one of many customers. I want SpaceX to have lots of customers." Bingo. This is the transition point.
Yes, and the thing is that American, now this is not just SpaceX, there are other companies coming along, private companies that want to compete for this business, and not just with the government, but right now mostly with the government, but if they can build this stuff relatively cheaply, it widens the customer base so that the government will no longer be the only customer. The model you can go back to in the early 20th century is with the airlines, where they didn't really have a lot of customers who could afford using planes, but the Postal Service bought the service to deliver air packages, you know, the airmail, and that gave them their initial big customer. Eventually it allowed them to lower their costs so that everyone could afford to fly on airplanes. Well, that's the same idea here. The government is the customer. It's helping the private enterprise get started so that the costs can go down. Now, the thing about this is that the model right now that the U.S. is following, it's an American model that made us the most powerful and wealthiest country in the world, is now becoming dominant in space. And in every single way, it looks like we're going to be well-positioned to dominate because we will be the country with the providers of manned space vehicles, both rockets and capsules.
Well, it's already proving out with all of these private companies and SpaceX introducing the "you can't do it" things that all the bureaucrats at NASA said you can't do. In moving to reusability, we're talking man flat, but on everything else, it's already changing the markets with small sats and companies just to release small sats. In fact, the market for the big heavy satellites we've always had seems to be declining as technology changes and launch costs change. And it's just how markets disrupt everything, and it's a beautiful thing. We're visiting with Robert Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com. Jody, if you would, back at Network Control, fire the break off.
It's all about Texas with Pratt on Texas.
All right, my good friends, we're visiting with Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com about his, well, what happened with this one of these final hurdle hoops that NASA's put in the way of private spaceflight, but they're the customer, so in this case it makes some sense. The piece Bob wrote was "The Long-Term Ramifications of SpaceX's Crew Dragon on the Future of the Human Race." And we just covered how this is a privately owned product. NASA doesn't own it. They're a customer. But SpaceX is doing so much more. Bob, do you want to continue on with that, filling out the arc there about the future of manned spaceflight because of what's happening here?
Yeah, what the U.S. right now, because we're going back to the American model of a competitive industry that competes and also innovates to lower costs because it competes better that way, it means that we as a nation will be able to offer the world the cheapest, best, abilities to get into space. You know, in the next 100 years, the human race is going to begin the exploration of the solar system and the colonization of the solar system. That's going to happen. It's not that the U.S. wants to do it. China wants to do it. India wants to do it. Other countries want to get involved. And so we will be positioned in a wonderful place to make it possible for them to do it. Now, what that means is that two things. One, it's going to bring immeasurable profit and prosperity to the United States, because the nation that brings that builds the ships, think of England, Great Britain, right, during the 1900s. They were the world's power, mostly because they were the world's navy. They were not just army, military, but they provided the ships for the world to travel the globe. And same thing with us in space. So that will make us wealthy, because we will be the resource everyone will be turning to for the best way to get into space. And the second part of it is that this gives us the opportunity to dominate what happens in space. And that means our concepts of freedom, individual responsibility, the rule of law, democracy, the things that made the country great, in the freedom that makes it great, that's what's the foundation of this private enterprise competition. We will bring that to the stars, and we will therefore make it possible to influence how future generations will live. And that is something people don't think about too often. But
well, no,
it's not
but
just
it's
putting
hard,
colonies
it's hard
there.
To
it's
think
how
about
you build
that, Bob, when one of the two
there.
Major political parties is trying to destroy and is hostile to those. You got one of the leading candidates is a guy that honeymooned in the Soviet Union and is in love with Marxism and that side of the world. But you're right. Let's be positive here, because as long as government stays out of the way, SpaceX and other companies, and there are a bunch of them now forming, that will build on their successes and find other niche markets. These
right.
companies are going to take us beyond the planet. Now, we're not done at colonies on Mars anytime soon, no matter what he says. Even if it might be an outpost if you put a few people up there. But eventually these things happen, because eventually there is a profit motive. People find reasons. There are resources, minerals, whatever. Who knows what it'll be? We don't always know. We didn't know when we came to the Americas what we were going to find. You know, coffee, tobacco, all kinds of potatoes, all kinds of things, tomatoes. You know, there are all kinds of things we can't foresee, but it needs to be a free market that does it, and we need to lead that.
Yeah, And people have to understand is that we will not successfully colonize the solar system and spread humanity beyond to the stars if we don't allow freedom and competition, because that's what works. When you try it any other way, it becomes stifled and not very successful. And that's a lesson that's been learned on Earth multiple times historically. And so that we're well positioned to do this, and we have an imperative to carry this forward. This, to some people, it's going to sound like manifest destiny, and I'm not ashamed of that.
No.
Because that is what built the United States and made this country a place that everyone in the world wants to be in and try to copy whatever in any way they can, because they know it's a better way to live.
Absolutely. Now, there are a lot of little niggling problems out there. One of the little niggling problems is this stupid space treaty we're in that basically says you can't own anything you claim in space. Now, I know what's going to happen with that. If some private people, I mean, who the hell is going to go up there and do anything about it? It's going to be a long time before anybody can challenge anybody's actual presence. If China builds a base on the moon, if they control the property, they own the property. That's basically what it's going to be.
China intends, Robert, China very much intends to challenge the outer space treaty,
right,
which, you're right, does not allow you to claim territory. They won't outright claim it, but they're going to basically say this is ours, any place they go. And the United States, when that happens, is going to be challenged to either get out of the space treaty or make it change somehow so that territory can be claimed in a reasonable manner, so that the laws of the United States can be established on our colonies in space.
Well, right, and nobody wants to put huge capital forward if there's no protection of it.
That's
it's like
right.
When you don't have copyright. Well, it's kind of like when you're in China and they steal it all. Real quickly, about 45 seconds, Bob Zimmerman of BehindTheBlack.com. When do you see the possibility now of NASA actually putting American astronauts in space on Crew Dragon from SpaceX?
Well, according to Elon Musk, he talked about this at the press conference after yesterday's mission, based on several things. One, they got to get the hardware in place. They say they'll have that ready by February. But then they have to schedule the launch in the conjunction with the various things that go up and down from ISS. And that's a scheduling issue.
Right.
So he said realistically he doesn't – and they also have to go over the data from this mission to make sure there's no problem hidden in it. You know, we look
right.
good, but you got to look at the data closely. He said the second quarter of 2020. That means sometime between April and June.
That
and I would say probably in the early part of that quarter is where I would look for that first manned space mission in a decade by Americans.
Boy, it's about time, and as always, it's the entrepreneur and the capitalist that bail us out of our misdirected bureaucratic directions we find ourselves falling into. Bob Zimmerman, the website's behindtheblack.com. Go read it. Buy his books, too. They're fabulous. Thanks, Bob. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Robert. Anytime.
All right. We'll be back in a moment, my friends, with the news and commentary of the Lone Star State of Texas. This is Pratt on Texas.